Taking your emails and taking your calls. Ignorant and uninformed.
It's not so bad.
Twang in the bowl. Ooh. Ooh.
Oh, that sounds nice.
It sounds like a Tibetan monastery or something.
Mm, one of the singing bowls.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
That was very nice. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it greatly.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I hope it brought your chi to center in alignment.
You know what it did? It was a nice tone. I feel like it was like the opposite of the brown note. So
yeah.
I am incapable of incontinence at the moment. I don't think I could shit myself if I wanted to. Just say.
Okay.
Yeah. So should I just start? Do we just want to?
I thought you were just going to do what you normally do and be like, normally. "Hey, everybody!"
Hey, I guess I could.
Hey, everybody else pooped the pants too.
Yeah. Well, hey, everybody, welcome back to Ignorant and Uninformed, America's favorite podcast. We're coming to you via the magic of the interwebs, live from Keystone, Colorado, and elsewhere in Summit County, Colorado. During the 2020 COVID-19 quarantine, which is, we got a little stir crazy. We decided to get together and bring back your podcast and talk to each other. And I am joined, as always, by our quarantined hosts, Mr. Max Sarakistan Sarak.
It's good to see your smiling faces, gentlemen.
I know. And Mr. Jeff Ignorant Watson. It's all a giant hoax. We all know it. So we are spread out at our various residences. This is the first like online session we've ever tried to do, which is pretty crazy. Because normally we are in the studio at 545 Productions, but this is where your show, and it must go on, your podcast, where we take your topics and turn them into our show. Because frankly, we're depending on how long this whole thing lasts, we're going to run out of unreleasable episodes in like a year.
So it's true. Less than that.
Oh yeah. I mean, and that's if we released everything. And that wouldn't leave us a 8 days of Hanukkah to release for a special holiday.
You've been talking about that for years and it's never happened.
Oh,
well, just so you know. Although I guess this will actually be our 8th birthday episode for the podcast.
Is it really?
Oh yeah. Birthday is May 2nd, I believe.
Hot damn. I do recall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always thought it was the end of April, but there you go. 8 years of this shit. Crazy.
Dude, really? We've been podcasting for 8 years?
Yeah, you'd think we'd be better, right?
You'd think I feel like we should be at this point. But well, it's not ignorant and uninformed without a topic about which we are uninformed.
Boom! I drew a topic for y'all. I'll also read it to you guys, but no, and it's old school, so it's perfect because it's actually from Benji's wife, Jess. Although it has her maiden name on it, so it makes me wonder if this was actually
before they got married.
Yeah,
good
but
Lord.
Jess wants us to talk about phobias, and if anyone else out there wants us to talk about things, then they have lots of ways to get our topics to us. You can twank us on the Twitters at Iganon.
Yep.
You can hit us up on the Facebooks. Although I'm not sure any of us actually check either of those things. You can email us. Then why do I always get notifications to check our Twitter notifications?
Oh, because it's all the people we follow. It's never like people writing us. It's like, hey, Stephen Colbert updated his Twitter feed. You should check out.
You got to turn those off.
This is a good airing of grievances because literally every day I wake up and I'm like, check your Twitter notifications. And I just assume that you never check the Twitter account. Yeah. But good job, Ben. I'm sorry for that.
No, they just send you like a daily update of like all the people. Oh. And we only follow, people who are popular and tweet constantly. So
got you. Okay.
Huh. It's not like we have, topics and shit waiting in our inbox.
No, that'd be rad if we did. Topics at ignorantanduninformed.com. And if you give us a topic, we will give you a free t-shirt and a free dick haiku. So there you go.
That's exactly right.
Well,
it feels like old times, guys. That's all I got to say. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Let's yeah. jump in.
I mean, I think it's great. You actually have a legitimate weapon rack behind you, Ben. You've actually got like a sword and a dartboard. Like ours are normally foam.
Yeah, no, this is, this is my broadsword. This is, and then I have a little dagger up there that matches it. And then I thought the dartboard looked enough like a shield to sort of like be a weapons right. rack. Although I think in my home studio where I'm calling in from today, I'm going to deck this big open wall behind me is we're going to put up, I got a bunch of new posters framed that, Debbie's had for a long time, Lady Hollywood, my wife. And, we're going to start putting like there, we have all three of the Lord of the Rings, like movie theater poster sizes, up there. We're going to put, and then we have got a Star Trek Beyond poster that I got from I went to the marathon premiere of the new Star Trek, Beyond movie, which was pretty fun. We watched like, you know, the original, like Star Trek, the reboot, and then the Star Trek, Into Darkness. And then it started in like the middle of the day. It was like lunchtime, breakfast time.
So before we start talking about our fears, courtesy of Jess, also, I'm curious, Ben, cause I assume you've watched all the Picard stuff. Like Facebook is really trying to get me to watch it. Is it worth watching? Oh, okay. Jeff's got the thumbs down.
I've only seen the first episode.
God damn it, Jeff. Enjoy life,
man. It didn't feel like Star Trek. Damn it.
What? All right. We'll talk about this later.
But I haven't seen the rest of it, so I won't speak to it.
That's cool. Sure. I mean, I was just curious. I figured, Ben, I assume you're on.
I very much enjoyed Picard. I thought it was was super fun. Although I have been less and less on board with the sequel trilogy of Star Wars, the more I like think about it, the less I like it. Like, and I know.
Thanks for coming around, Ben. Thanks for coming around to the dark side.
Well, it's just it's a lot of ridiculousness. It feels very petty. Like the whole thing. It's just like, hey, we're making a trilogy, but we're only going to plan it one movie at a time. And I was like, oh, okay. And anyway, but that's so my fear. One of my fears is, you know, just completely sequels. My fear is that I will grow to loathe Star Wars in general, that I will no longer like Star Wars because of what they've done to it. And
I can still ignore those.
Yeah. I'm a pretty big prequel trilogy hater as well. I've been very vocal about that in the past.
We've literally recorded an hour long episode. The only time we've ever not drawn a topic and gone an hour long was so we could talk mad shit about Star Wars.
That. Yeah, it was pretty wild.
It's funny. It's the first. It's the first time when a Star Wars movie has come out to watch at home, and I haven't sprung to watch it because I was like, "Fuck that movie."
Yeah,
it was that's weird. Fair.
So, but
see, I'm.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say, I've like the Clone Wars and Rebels cartoons have been like scratching that itch and keeping my Star Wars love alive.
And those are very good. Like the Clone Wars, I very much enjoy. Rebels, very much enjoy. I haven't seen Resistance yet, but I hear okay things. I very much enjoyed The Mandalorian. I liked that a lot. And I know Jeff and I, we differ on that as well. I don't think you didn't enjoy The Mandalorian.
The style was cool. The atmosphere was cool. There's no story for me. I don't know.
Fair enough.
I didn't flip out over Baby Yoda like everyone else did. So.
I thought it was funny. I was like, oh, that's cute. But I wasn't the child.
The middle ground.
I mean, the memes have been great. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I occupy the middle ground between you two on that one. I don't think I loved it as much as you, Ben, and I don't think I hated it as much as you, Jeff.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be curious because they said Ahsoka is going to be in season 2.
Yeah, Rosario Dawson?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a... Yeah.
I'd be curious what they do with that.
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
They're looking at now a later release, I believe, because of all of this, from what they said. Like, yeah. It was supposed to come out in May, I think, but now they're talking like June or something.
Really?
I heard.
Really? Oh, fuck. I didn't realize it was that soon.
Or maybe it was October and they were now talking to November. I don't remember. But I don't remember when the other one was set to be released. I feel like it was this summer, but maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it was that soon.
I've been wrong about a lot of things. So, and I'm.
but what are you scared of, Ben? I'm not here to shame you for what you've gotten wrong. I'm here to shame you for what you're afraid of.
I think we've talked about this. I'm afraid of snakes.
The ocean.
The ocean. Bees. Like not a single bee, but many, many bees. Like bees.
Sure.
Like a handful of bees I could handle, but anything more than that.
What about two handfuls?
It's too many bees. Too many bees.
A mouthful.
Not the bees. Like Nick Cage.
Okay.
So Wicker yeah. Man. Wicker Man, yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I was like Season of the Witch. Nope, different movie. God, that's a terrible movie, but I love Nick Cage and I love all of his movies. So what's the opposite of a phobia? A philia, I suppose.
Like, yeah, probably. What about like sticking, or either of you guys catch like thoughts about sticking your hand down the garbage disposal? Like I know people who, yeah, that we'll get freaked out with a bottle cap or something, and that it's going to get turned on.
That
okay.
doesn't faze me at
I
all.
I just make sure no one's near the switch. That's my only...
Yeah. Sure.
I do, sure. though. I keep eyes on that fucking switch if I my hand's down there. I'm,
well,
like,
yeah,
watching it. I'm, like a hot... Like, don't you just... Don't you be crazy, man. Don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
I've installed and uninstalled enough of enough garbage disposals in my life that I'm not terribly afraid of them.
Okay. Okay, exposure therapy, if you will.
Yeah, I'm also now, like later in life, I'm afraid of flying. Like I don't enjoy any of it. Like just the whole process. The only thing I appreciate is the quickness with which I can travel the world. Like otherwise, I'd be driving, and I'm like, well, this is 4 hours of driving or of flying or. You know, 20 hours of driving, and I'm not about to do that.
I think this may have came up the last time we recorded, or one of the last few times we recorded, because this was like the entranceway into you getting back into perhaps dabbling with the weeds.
Oh yeah. I think it's because my fears, you know, dominate my life, I think is what's happening. And, no, not really, but, yeah, we've definitely talked about my fear of flying before.
Yeah. But,
and it's weird how it came about. I can't trace it back to like a single traumatic experience or anything like that. Like and it's not flying in general. If the flight is smooth and then I'm fine. Like I am much less anxious, but the slightest bit of turbulence or, you know, and it's mostly like, it's not even shaking turbulence. It's dropping turbulence. That's what I don't enjoy, but I've never enjoyed dropping
I love that feeling.
Rides and roller coasters. Splash,
yeah, it's like a roller coaster.
Splash Mountain. I think maybe I was traumatized by that as a child. I don't know. Like I didn't enjoy it for a long time. And it took me until I was probably in college or high school, like to start going on rides that dropped again from the time I was 8 to the time I was probably 18. Like I didn't enjoy rides that dropped.
I have a similar experience with like heights. At some point in my life, I like became afraid of heights, and I don't know when it was, but I can very vividly remember like moving up to Summit County and those first couple years of skiing and like not loving being on chairlifts. And so like, yeah, sheer drops, exposure and heights. And it's also come like, I don't love going fast and feeling exposed, like motorcycles, ATVs, bikes. Like I just don't love exposure and speed. And so, yeah, even like on a narrow trail, if it's like a narrow switchback on a steep incline, or, well, incline's not as bad, but decline, like, not a fan.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, Ben, that's why you're my house husband hero when you come change the floodlights in my living room.
When you need someone to when you need someone to get up on a ladder for mm-hmm. you. Yeah. I've Definitely. Done that on many occasions. I mean, we've been friends long enough.
But, I mean, yeah.
I'm like the handyman in our group. So I'll come over and fix anything. Jeff, you need once this is all over, you need something fixed in your house, I'll come over and do it.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely remember being afraid of the dark as a kid. Yeah. Jeff, you got any phobias, or you?
I'm going to go deeper. I've always had a fear of abandonment.
Ah, okay.
And a fear of conflict. So.
Ah, okay.
Yeah. And I'm working on those things.
Yeah.
Fuck you. No, I'm just kidding.
I have a
sign out of the call.
He left us. I have a fear.
I've been abandoned.
Oh no. I do have a fear of conflict. I would say confrontation specifically.
Yes.
I've always hated confrontation and conflict in general, but conflict driven confrontation is, I don't know of anyone. And that's the thing. Some people actually thrive in those kinds of situations.
Absolutely.
And I've never been one of those people. I don't like fighting in general with anybody, my wife, my friends, my family. We've just never really. And so I tend to avoidance protocols on anything remotely resembling conflict or confrontation. And sure. Yeah. But I've realized it is necessary, though, and there's times when it's called for, and that's hard. And that's, that's what I always struggle with is like, okay, because in my mind, it's like the ultimate escalation, right? Like it's some people, that's just how they blow off steam and that's how they process and whatever. But, it's just never really been something worth pursuing for me because I'm like, well, why don't we just talk it out like normal people? And, it doesn't need to come to conflict, but
to fisticuffs,
it need not escalate to fisticuffs.
I mean, I guess to your point, Jeff, I can certainly see traces of that in myself, and I guess there's a fear of not being liked.
That's absolutely 100%
that I have probably deep down. We've talked at length about being recovering people pleasers.
Yeah. The thought is if I bring this up, this person will not like me and or leave. That's mm-hmm. always been my fear.
Mm-hmm.
And I've come mm-hmm. to realize it's the opposite. It actually deepens relationships and brings people closer.
Yeah.
If done in the correct way.
Sure. Sure. If not full of venom and hate blame.
I'm not even talking about screaming and yelling and shit. I'm just talking hard conversations.
Yeah. Yeah, now I get it. Fear of rocking the boat, right? Exactly. But I don't know what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm. I can't predict the future, therefore, I will stay comfortable.
Yeah.
And not happy.
Yeah, fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
Fair enough. Were those, how did you uncover those fears in yourself? Just through...
I've kind of always been that way, but just the newer relationship, the girl I'm dating, it's I'm super conflict avoidant with things that are bothering me and I don't speak up. And
okay.
She's an intuitive person and picks up on that and says, hey, you're not being yourself. And so you're like, oh, I'm doing this.
Yeah. I mean, it's mirrors. Other people are mirrors, right? To have that ability to hold that thing up to ourselves and be like, oh, I am doing that.
And then I look back at old relationships and fuck, I've always done that. No wonder I'm still single.
And done some reflection and stuff. Yeah, no, I got you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
Lean into those fears. That's what I've learned.
I mean, I think exposure therapy works to a point.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we're just going to drop some bees and a snake and
why would you do that to me?
And an airplane. And we're going to put you in an airplane with bees and snakes over the ocean.
You got to tell me at least Samuel Jackson's there. Cause that's, I'll need him to get the snakes off the plane.
Of course. Have you seen that movie? I assume you both have.
I believe parts. I own it. It's horrible, but so bad it's good.
Does
the internet?
Sam Jackson,
he does
get the snakes off the plane.
He does.
Okay. Cool.
He says, "I'm tired of all these motherfucking snakes on this motherfucking plane."
No, I'm aware.
Sometimes the internet is a force for good in the world, gentlemen, because it made that movie get made. So that's all that I can ask of the world.
I mean,
today.
It's also allowing us to do this. And like, let's be real. All of what's happening right now and the way that we are handling it would be way more difficult without the interwebs.
Absolutely.
That would be crazy.
We'd all have gone crazy long ago.
Although, I don't know who would have gone crazy.
If there was no internet, we'd have no, you know, they did it 100 years ago, right?
Yeah, I'd just watch my VCR tapes. That's what I would do.
Do you still have a VCR and tapes?
I do.
I think I got rid of them a long time ago.
Yeah, I did too.
We have a bunch of VHS tapes and we have a VHS to DVD converter. So one of the quarantine projects we have is to take all the home movies and transfer them over to DVD.
That's awesome.
Shit, dude. I don't think I realized that. I am going to avail myself of your things once this is all over. Because there's some old shit that I would like to put on DVD that I know my parents have.
Totally. It's really fun. Like you can actually hook up because we actually have a lot on like Hi8 video and VHSC, I think. So you have to get the RCA cables, plug it in. It has an RCA input,
of course,
red, yellow and white cable. And then you can like take it out of the camera and record it directly to a DVD bypassing the VHS function altogether, which is great, but it takes a while. Cause you got to like sit. We were talking about that the other day, Debbie and I, we were like, we're sitting here at home. Like why aren't we just leaving these running all day? Like,
yeah, sure.
We could get through it in a week.
Yeah.
With the amount of time we have.
That's awesome. That gives me so much hope for being able to digitize that Tri-Rang commercial that I was in when I was a kid. See the glory.
Yes.
Sweet bar mitzvah video.
I would really like to be able to take it off of a DVD and just get it onto a hard drive. Like that's what I really want to do, but that technology is a little difficult to manipulate without some expensive ass equipment.
Can you just like record a DVD to a hard drive?
You can, but it's an extra step and it's all real time steps. So every minute of footage is a minute to transfer to a DVD and a minute to transfer to a hard drive from that DVD.
Sure.
And there's some quality loss that goes on in that.
You running out of time? What?
Listen, man. No, it's just like it seems like a lot of hoops to jump through for a recording of me in 10th grade doing South Pacific. You know what I mean?
Oh, just sweet like... Jesus. When we have to have home movie night, I will go, dude, on your big ass TV. Oh, it's gotta be so glorious.
It would be pretty great. Maybe we'll allow it one time. We'll have to make it a drinking game and maybe we could live stream it or something. Wouldn't that be fun? Like just have people from the internet be able to watch our home videos and us reacting to our home videos.
I mean, if it's going to be a drinking game, I'll have to stay.
Fair enough.
Well, be safe, but
we'll allow it. Also, I have no idea how long we've been talking because I didn't set a time.
I was wondering about that actually.
I think
5:38, we had made a comment. We've been doing this for 40 minutes, so we're not at half an hour yet.
That's true. No, we're not. I think we're only at like 23-ish minutes. So let's go ahead and say time. Six. Were we rolling? I don't know. You know what? I'm gonna give us we'll another stay. 5 minutes, and then we're wrapping.
Yeah.
Up.
Well, and then we'll know for next time. Like, I'll grab my phone and I'll start a timer.
Yeah, when we'll be in the. I thought I was like, oh, I'll just remember what time it was, and then I was like, oh no, that involves. That's going to involve math. I'm not doing
memory. Not doing yeah. Involves remembering.
Yes, yes, the things. I'm glad we figured out how to do this, though, and at least
we're get one it-
episode down. Yeah. Yeah, I'll be curious the what it sounds like when it's all
said and done.
Sure, it's sure. True. Yeah. Could you guys think of any phobias that you've overcome? Right, like things you used to be scared of that you aren't anymore. Like, I'm not as much scared of the dark, but every once in a while, if I'm like super high, like I don't love, like I'll turn on more lights than I need to as I like make my way from downstairs to upstairs.
Hmm. See, I was never afraid of the dark as a kid. So
mm. Yeah. I don't know what it's such a weird fear. Yeah. I don't know.
I've gotten better. I've gotten better at some, like I'm less afraid of confrontation because I see its necessity in life. Okay. So I've certainly gotten better at like, okay, this is something that I, you know, is going to involve a little bit of confrontation, a little bit of conflict, and that's okay. You know, it's not the end of the world, which I think for a long time it was for me. Like it was, I was like, oh man, this is it. Like, this is going to kill this friendship, kill this job, this relationship,
yeah,
whatever. But you know, it's life goes on, and the older I get, the more I learn that, you know? Yep. So I think, I've certainly gotten better. I'm not over it. I'm still afeared of it.
Yeah.
Let's see. I used to be scared of, I don't know. I can do roller coasters and stuff now. I used to like, I would never have in college. I was like, I got over that fear in college. Cause I just, again, immersion therapy. I just sort of rode a whole bunch of roller coasters and like learned how they feel and like what that's like and sort of overcame the, like, okay, yeah, I can do this. It's not my preference. It's not my first choice to be like, hey, let's go to a, you know, Six Flags or Knott's Berry Farm and just do roller coasters all day long.
Yeah. Well, as a performer, do you like, do you still get those twangs of fear before stepping on stage?
Yeah, I mean, I get that adrenaline rush. I mean, I think that's part of it for a lot of us. It's sort of it's that drug, right? You know, like, oh shit, this is live. It's happening. Whoa. Like, you know, it's
sure.
And you know, but unless I'm feeling like just terribly unprepared, I don't, it's not something that I'm unable to deal with. It's very second nature to me now. Like, you sort of rely on that energy and that adrenaline rush, which in many people exhibits as you know, as in nervous tics and nervous behavior, you know, shaking and knobby knees and butterflies in your stomach. And you just sort of learn how to channel that energy into your performance and it sort of goes away. But there's always that moment. It's that, like, you know, breath before the plunge, right? Right before the curtain goes up. Right before you go on stage, it's kind of like, oh shit. And then you go and you sort of fall into it. At least that's what it was for me.
And so then I guess like a follow-up question to that is like, even, so say you're in a show that's like the 15th time you've done that show. Is it still before that curtain goes up every time you're like,
no, it becomes old hat very quickly. Like, you know, that high gets a little less, you know, intense every time, especially when you're doing like the same material, when you're doing the same show.
Sure.
You know, there's a thing that we all talk about, you know, that's in the industry, is like the second night is always a little bit worse. Is usually the worst performance because it's before it really has settled in. But they call it second nightitis, or some creative moniker thereof. And it's typically because like you can sort of, magic happens that first night. Everyone's, you know, got that opening night jitters and channeling that energy and they're there, you know, they're adrenaline, they're focused there. And then the second night it's like, oh, well, we've done this all once already. So it's not as intense. And then the cracks start to show in that moment, because then you don't have that like push of adrenaline to keep you focused and keep you going and keep your mind on track. And so that's when things tend to go, like, go up on lines the second night, or it's just low energy because you can't, you're not relying on that opening night energy. And then you have to find the consistency of it. You know, you have to find, like, and for, you know, seasoned Broadway veterans and stuff, that's not really an issue. They know how to do that already, but you got to make, it's the illusion of the first time, right? Like, you got to keep it, like, these events are occurring for your character and for the audience for the first time. So you have to capture that energy, lightning in a bottle, every time. So that's always sort of something I think about is, you know, so that's how I push past this, the second night thing.
Okay.
But you always get a little bit of a thrill. I mean, it is like, you know, it's performing live for people. I imagine, you know, film actors feel similar, even though theirs is all about, their game is all about repetition and exactness. You know, doing that kind of stuff. But and while that's important for stage theater too, it's, you know, literally you're saying the same line in the same place 20 times, you know, at, you know, in a day, and you're, you know, to get it consistent from all the different angles and all the different versions of that scene you have to film. And and that's where, you know, like, consistency comes in to play, I think. I haven't done much film work, but
I hear you. Cause you've always got to put your left hand in the same spot on, you know, and like hit that same mark at the same time on the same moment. You can match cuts and stuff.
It just bugs me when like shit happens that like inconsistency, consistency errors within films, within cuts bug the shit out of me like all the time. I noticed when I was watching Stranger Things, which I've started watching, which is also a fear I've sort of overcome. I don't watch a lot of scary stuff. And I
don't love a lot of scary stuff either.
I realize that, you know, Stranger Things is not the scariest thing out there, but it's suspenseful, and I definitely can only watch it in bits and pieces because I get a little bit like, oh God, this is too intense. And Debbie's the same way, so it works out just great when we watch Stranger Things. But like, there was this scene, and this dude had a necklace on, and it was like, it was like up here in one shot, and then it switched and it was back down again. And then they cut back to that take again, and it was up here again. And I was like, God damn it. I was like, continuity
that's
errors.
Someone's job.
That's someone's job to make sure that the necklace was in the same fucking place. Cause it just like, it instantly takes me out of something. I'm like, oh fuck. But so I don't know. I don't know. Have you guys overcome any fears in your lives?
Spiders.
Oh, interesting. I mean, I've definitely gotten better with heights. Like, I don't have a problem on chairlifts anymore. I'm on a lot more of them. So that's fun. And I'm not like terrified of the dark. Yeah. I don't sleep with lights on.
I would say that like fears don't go away completely though. Like, but you can overcome them with much more aplomb later on, and you know, the more you
work with
it. It's like, I don't like spiders. I've never really been scared of spiders, but it's like, I know it's my job that I deal with the spiders, you know? So it's like, all right, man up, I'm going to do it. Not to be misogynist, but you know, like brave, turn on my brave face.
Fine.
Yes. And you know, that's all. I don't know. So I don't think that fear ever really goes away. I think it's just how you deal with it.
It changes.
Your choice is, you know, that's where the choice lies, is how you deal with that fear, whether you channel it into a stellar performance on stage or you know, smash that spider with your shoe. And then you go in the bathroom and bite a towel and cry about it later on. Not saying that's happened. or, you know what I mean? So it's how you deal with the fear that determines whether or not you've overcome that fear. I would say the fear never goes away.
No, man, I think that's a good, and I think that's a good place to leave it.
Yeah. Well, thanks for downloading and listening to Ignorant Uninformed, America's favorite podcast. We've been your hosts, Mr. Max Sarak.
Hello.
Mr. Jeff Watson.
Later.
And I am Ben Hollywood Whitmore. Make sure you check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/ignorantanduninformed. Twank us on the Twitter at Ig and Un. You can check out all the podcasts at ignorantanduninformed.com or send your topics to topics@ignorantanduninformed.com. We're going to see how this goes, and we may be reporting to you remotely for the time being. So stick with us. Stay safe out there, everybody. And we're going to get through this together. And we'll be back next week with a brand new episode of Hot Ass Freshness, all up in your grill. Peace off.